This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. This is our question and answer period. These are questions you've called me about or sent me emails on them that I'll just go right down the list and answer these the best I can so it'll help you in your fishing. Some of you are talking about the caddisflies we're seeing hatch. I'm seeing oodles of these right now. In fact, my house is right on Stony Creek, and they're on my back porch to beat the band. Now, what often happens on a caddis hatch? We'll see a pool, come into a pool, look up through there. You'll see a trout rising. You've seen a number of caddis. The logical thing to assume is that rising trout is actually taking a dry caddisfly on top of the surface. However, the caddis pupa can play a tricky game. It depends on the particular caddis family. But a lot of caddis will drift just below the surface film. I'm talking about a half inch to maybe as much as an inch or two below the surface. He'll drift downstream right below the surface for as much as 2 to 3 feet before he comes up on the surface to fly away. Now, a lot of trout take that caddis pupa in that vulnerable stage, and it often looks to me like they're taking the dry fly. And there's a place out in Montana, I get tricked on this every year. I'm a slow learner, but I'll see these trout coming up and I'll run caddis over, and all of a sudden it'll dawn on me he's not taking the adult, he's taking that pupa just right under the surface. So what I do here in our case, the caddis that's on right now is pretty well matched with the Mr. Rapidan Delta Wing Olive caddis in about a size 14. Now, I've run about an 18-inch 5X dropper under that, and then I put the Murray's caddis pupa in an olive color and about a size 12 on that dropper. So then when I'm casting upstream, I've got that dry coming back, the pupa's right under it, and I'll catch maybe equal number. I'll come pretty close to catching equal number on each one of those. So don't let this caddis hatch trick you, because we do have a lot of caddis on the surface now. But just because he didn't come up and take your dry caddis, run a dropper under there with a caddis pupa under it, and that'll pretty well solve your problems. Now, inchworms, you better believe they do take inchworms. Now, I try a couple different techniques. Obviously, if you see some inchworms hanging down over the stream, they're in the water, you see fish rising to them, you can fish a regular inchworm like the Murray's inchworm at about a size 14 in a dry form. You can fish it upstream, dead drift, just like you would an ant or something like that. And that does take some trout. However, I find that often if I deliver that my dry inchworm with a snap on the forward presentation, that slams that thing on the water kind of like him falling off the tree limb up above. So, but if I deliver that forward with a snap so it splashes on the water, many times I'll take some trout that wouldn't take the inchworm just drifting naturally. Another ploy you can use is just to use a roll cast turnover. Just pick your fly up and do a roll cast turnover, and that will help it go on the water with a little splash. Now, this one, I saw it, and I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it. Way down in, I were fishing a little Pennsylvania stream, and I was pretty well fishing for the day, and Downey was upstream on the far side of the stream just waiting for me to finish. Well, he had an inchworm on, and he had done well worth it all day, but he was pretty well finished, and he was standing on the far side, kind of leaning out over the stream, had a little barbed wire fence there in front of him, and down he was letting his leader with that inchworm on there kind of hang down in the water. Well, you can imagine what happened when that inchworm was bouncing up and down on the water. A huge brown came right out from the undercut bank right at his feet and grabbed that inchworm, and he landed it. And then he went on downstream trying that back under that undercut bank, just dabbing it right down just as if it was a caddis, just as if it was an inchworm hanging down off its own thread. And he caught two more big browns by doing that. And, you know, we've used that technique often since then. So play the inchworm game. Okay, we've just had 2 inches of rain, and Rhonda tells me you're going to be getting this report pretty soon. I checked the river just a few minutes ago, and we have too much water. I don't think it's going to be fishable by this weekend. But once that starts clearing up, I go into the back eddies. Now, what I'm calling is a back eddy. The stream comes down on the side opposite the heavy current. I'm standing in the middle of the river. The river is racing down, we'll say the right-hand bank. I've got one particular back eddy in mind. Goes racing down that on that right-hand bank, gets down, and then it turns and comes back on the left bank, the slow bank, so to speak, in a great big lazy Susan. Now, sometimes these back eddies will be 10 feet across, sometimes they'll be 30. The one I've got in mind is probably about 50 feet across. But the water racing down through there, especially with all the water we've got now, those bass are not going to be out there where it's that heavy. They'll move into that back water, into those back eddies, and they're going to feed on the minnows, crayfish, anything they can find back there. So I really hit these back eddies on what you might call falling water. It's not discolored, but it's got a heck of a volume to it. So try those back eddies because we do have extra water right now. All right, the extra water did some things in the mountain streams too. I've tried one mountain stream yesterday and practically washed away. So I went in at the bottom of the mountain like a fool. What I should have done was get up on the Skyland Drive or get up in the National Forest in the head of the streams and come into the head of the stream from the top. That would have put me at a much more advantageous water level than I met yesterday. So all of these places, all these streams have good stream access at the top. I've covered in my Virginia book, my Shenandoah National Park book. All of those are pretty well covered there. And you can come in off of Skyland Drive and hike down in there. Now, this is a great time to take advantage of the water level we've got if you want to do some camping. Some of the streams have, I've got one in mind, and I'm not going to say which one, but one of them in the Shenandoah National Park has actually 3 good feeders coming into it, all 3 of which, in addition to the mainstream, are well worth fishing. Now, if you want to go in and spend a 3-day weekend, you can go in and kind of camp where all these branches come together, and you could fish a different stream each day. And there are a number of streams, not just the one I have in mind, but there are a number of streams that'll give you that. So you can go in and camp for 3 days and fish a different stream every time you're in there. All right, going down the list. Oh, yes, somebody had to ask it in the last school I did here in the store. Do we have poisonous snakes in our mountain trout streams? The water snake obviously is not a poisonous snake on what we have. We do not have the cottonmouth moccasin. However, we do have copperheads and rattlesnakes. Jeff saw quite a few this time last year. I haven't seen a poison snake in the mountain for probably 5 years. Now, I do have 3 rules that I go by when I'm in the mountains. One, I do not wade through grass along the side of the stream where I can't see where I'm putting my feet. I had a good friend got bitten 2 years ago doing that. But anyway, I don't walk through grass that I can't see where I'm putting my feet. I do not climb up over a ledge beside the stream where I put my hands up on top of the ledge and pull myself up, that kind of thing. I do not put my hands up on ledges where I can't see who's up there. and I do not step over, say, a 2 foot in diameter downfall on the bank where I would step over it and then go on my way until I punch around on the other side and make sure there's nobody on the other side of that log. So if you use common sense, I don't think you're going to have any. I do carry one of those Sawyer extractors just to be on the safe side. All right, smallmouth river, when is it too muddy and when is it getting clear enough to fish? What we have right now, as I say, I don't think it's going to be clear by this weekend, but what I gauge by, if I'm standing in water knee-deep and I can see my feet, then I feel that's clear enough for the bass, clear enough for me. That's a relatively simple standard, but it tends to work for me. All right. Do I keep a fishing log? Oh, you bet your life I keep a fishing log. What do I jot down all on there? In fact, I just did it yesterday. If I'm trout fishing as I was trying to yesterday, I the water level as best I can gauge it, the water temperature, any aquatic insects I'll put on there, that kind of thing helps me tremendously. Come next year and I want to look back and see what I did this time this year. It'll tell me the hatches, the water temperature, what I can expect. So a fishing log is a nice thing to do. Okay. Oh, yeah, here's a dandy for you because I've got the mouth of two streams right here beside me. When the main river, in this case I'm talking about the North Fork of the Shenandoah River, right here beside me, I've got three feeder streams that come into the North Fork of the Shenandoah within, 6 miles of where I'm sitting. One of them is a substantial feeder. But if the stream itself, if the North Fork of the Shenandoah, for instance, is carrying a little more water than I want, and then I want to go where these feeders come in, because the feeders are always be clearer than the main flow unless something very unusual. So where I have these feeders coming in, this could be Mill Creek, it could be Narrow Passage Creek, this could be Big Stony Creek, any of those feeders where they flow into the river themselves, they're almost always clearer before the river clears. The bass cruise around right where those feeder streams come in, and you can get some outstanding fishing in those. So concentrate on those feeders. If you don't know where they are, just swing in here and I'll go over all that with you. That's all I've got on my list that you hit me about for today. Now, if you have any questions, just please shoot me an email on them or call me or whatever, and I'll be glad to cover them to the best of my knowledge. This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. Just ring me at 540-984-4212.